Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and are kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Listen to this. You bet just $1 on any football game this week, and you receive $150 in free bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. We're looking back at the Auburn game, reviewing the tape with T. Frank. And in reviewing the tape, T. Frank, Mike Yurcich did so much stuff. As a fan, it was so interesting to watch, and there was even some of the things that we didn't catch, and even the announcers at the game didn't catch it. I want to start with a specific play, and that was the one where we saw Brenton Strange. It was fairly late in the game, I believe it was their last touchdown drive. Brenton Strange sneaks out from the left side, wide open, nobody covering him, and it looked like just a pure Auburn breakdown. But there was a whole lot more to that play than that, wasn't there?
Yes, it actually goes back to the play before as well. And I broke down this two-play sequence in my film review this week because it was so good. It starts with the play before. John Lovick gets 18 yards on a screen pass. And for my part, I loved the play design there because it went at a lot of tendencies that come into the Penn State offense. So this is knowing yourself and knowing how to, you know, take what's on film and kind of turn it on its ear for the defense. So they are in the on this play before, they are faking a one of those motion plays into the flat with Parker Washington, where they normally throw those bubble screens or those flat release routes, and they have basically two guys motioning both in the run and the pass game away from their designed target, which is the screen. So everyone's moving one way, Sean Clifford rolling out to the long side of the field, drawing the extra defenders. But the play action, the actual running attack, is an outside zone, which is a natural screen once you get out to the other side of the field. So Penn State is faking two things at once and then throws the screen back to the far side of the field, and they have this natural screen set up just by their own play action. They didn't have to do anything else. So it takes a lot of what they've already been doing, and it plays off of that. And that's the creativity of somebody who is seeing, and this goes to halftime adjustments, this goes to all of the little things that an offensive coordinator needs to be good at in order to consistently attack the defense. Because it wasn't like they're just running inside zone to run inside zone or running outside zone to run outside zone. They're doing all of these things and playing off of each other. And John Lovett does a great job of weaving through traffic and getting 18 yards. But then you see, especially if you're watching the TV copy, as soon as he gets up, like 4 seconds later, you can tell everyone got a signal from the sideline. So Penn State went tempo after a big play to try and get another big play. And they did that by lining up in a trick formation. Sure.
Can I stop you for 1 second? Since we're going to talk about that Lovett play, the other thing with that is Sean Clifford was one of the few times he was a bit under duress, and it seemed like he had to get rid of the ball a little quicker than he needed to, but he did it without panicking. So I thought that was another part of the Sean Clifford development.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That was Brenton Strange, who's supposed to be, so it's a bootleg, and they're bringing essentially an extra blocker on the outside to make sure he has time to throw that football. Strange didn't get a great block there. But as you point out, Sean Clifford, even though he's under pressure, gives an on-target pass to John Lovett. And the part to me that was really impressive was not only do they follow that up with tempo, they follow that up and execute a trick play very well. And the way I put it is, I don't really even know the specific rules that they're stretching when it comes to how you're supposed to line up. But what they did is Breton Strange lines up at left tackle, and because he's a receiver, he's eligible. Now, Caden Wallace is lined up at slot receiver. I don't exactly know the rules that make you allowed to do that, but I think as long as he doesn't go downfield for a pass and he's not an eligible player, then it's a fine formation. But the point is, 15 seconds came off the clock, and they're running a trick play correctly. The Auburn defense doesn't know that either. I promise you that they may have a better idea than I do, but after sprinting 30 yards down the field and trying to get lined up in 15 seconds, there's no way they were going to communicate properly. So not only is it the first play design that was really good, then it was the awareness in the moment to smell blood in the water and have your offense so disciplined and so ready to execute that trick play that they catch Auburn and they get another 30 yards off of it. That is entirely on the offensive coordinator. That play sequence, the way they executed it, and the ability to, I'm not trying to take anything away from the players, because they had to not screw it up. They had to go out there, they had to, while they were tired as well, get into an odd formation and be ready to execute that play, and they did. And the ability to do that, and the ability to hit that and to have that quick turnaround, that's an appropriate use of tempo. A lot of people, kind of the air raid offense idea, is that you run tempo to tire out the defense, which is just so idiotic, because at this point, the sports performance in college is amazing. Like, you might get a couple guys tired, but if you're not trying to take advantage of formation, personnel, or something like in this situation, you are doing a disservice by just going fast to go fast. And Penn State never does that. They don't go fast just to go fast. There's a plan, there's a reason, and with Mike Yurcich, all of that comes through, and it's super impressive. That was one of the better two-play sequences I've seen on tape from an offensive coordinator.
And you make a great point. It's not just about fancy, crazy formations. It's the fact that this Penn State offense has been so disciplined. We're not seeing all those mistakes that are used to seeing over the last couple of years, where they don't get the play in time and they're forced to use a timeout or there's some other penalties. So that was really fascinating to watch. I'm just wondering what's going through the head of that Auburn defensive back who looks across the line of scrimmage and there's number 79, Caden Wallace, that he's looking at him saying, I guess I'm responsible for covering this guy. What's going on?
Yeah, well, first off, there's probably a little bit of terror that it's going to be a screen pass. Because if they throw a screen pass out there and Caden Wallace is and you're a corner covering Caden Wallace, like, the best thing is that he actually goes out for a pass, because you don't have to do anything. But if he's blocking you, that's a problem. The other player is the poor linebacker that's looking at Breton Strange lined up and going, you're not who I expected there. You're not Ron. You're not supposed to be there. And then, again, they didn't know what to do. They focused on the wrong thing, and Breton Strange leaks out for almost a touchdown. So, yeah, it's about using those things, and the fact that Penn State hadn't put that on tape yet, and the fact that they had been able to do that and execute that, that puts every defensive coordinator on notice that it's not just that this is coming. It's that you don't know what's coming, and you've got to prepare for everything. Your defense can't have miscommunications.
Speaking of not knowing what's coming, after the first two games, I didn't look up the numbers, but there really wasn't a great use of the tight ends, although there were times when they had three tight ends on the field. And again, when we heard comments as the season was starting, oh, this is the best tight end room we've ever had, well, it appears that it's going to be the case. There are three tight ends that they made use of, and they did it in creative ways, T. Frank, and they hadn't shown that before. How much easier does it become when you have tight ends in there versus, say, wide receivers? A wide receiver's out there, you know he's going out looking to catch a pass. A tight end, you're not sure what he's going to do. I imagine when you have three of them on the field, all capable of blocking and all capable of catching the ball, that creates a quandary for the defense.
Yes, and you're right. And it's in the run and the pass. This is very a la 2011, 2012 New England Patriots, where they had two dominant tight ends on the field. And what they could do was they could throw out of a running formation, so they'd force you to bring heavier, stronger defenders onto the field, and then they can split one of those guys out wide, and now you have an immediate above-average threat as a receiver, let alone a tight end. Penn State is playing off of some of those tendencies, and they're this is something I complained about over the last couple of years. It wasn't even just with Kirk Shiraka last year and the inability to move players around, because I don't think they had time to practice stuff like that, but very static anyway by alignment and formation was his offense. Same thing with Ricky Ronning, and honestly, same thing with Joe Moorhead. Everyone lined up in the same spot for the most part, and everyone had roughly the same responsibilities by down and distance. It is the Wild West with Mike Yurcich. You know, Tyler Warren and Theo Johnson have both lined up wide quite a bit so far this year for different reasons. Theo Johnson lines up there as a receiver. Tyler Warren lined up there as a receiver that motioned into the formation, bringing a corner into the run game, and Penn State was able to convert one of their few third downs, third and shorts, that is. So the ability to play at a bunch of different schemes with those players on the field is the advantage of the tight end. When you have difference makers at tight end, you can do more stuff and you can force the defense into more bad situations. A lot of what happened, though, and I don't want to rain on anybody's parade. A lot of what happened was defensive breakdowns. So Theo Johnson's wide open. He runs down the seam for 30-some yards. Brenton Strange is wide open on the play we talked about by design, 46 yards. They still, I think, are struggling a little bit to get open versus traditional coverage. Now, Brenton Strange did have a great crossing route, and it was thrown over the middle of the field. He caught it and ran for an additional 10 yards, which is something I've been begging for a while. But as we talked about, Auburn didn't get pressure on Sean Clifford, so some of those routes that take a little bit longer to get open, some of those crossing routes where you got a guy coming across the field and you got to get him into a certain window, those had time to develop in this game. You were able to get the tight ends involved over the middle, and to me, the ability to do it and the fact that it happened when it needed to, that is a great sign. But through the first two games, Penn State had been targeting the tight end, specifically Brenton Strange, and a lot of contested catches and not a lot of production. So I'm trying to pull up, Brenton Strange right now is targeted. He's not on here for some reason. But anyway, he had a couple of targets in the Wisconsin game near the red zone, down the seam, couple in the end zone on some free plays, and they weren't really quality efforts by him. Now, he improved a lot in this Auburn game. But I need more than one game to tell me that he is in fact arrived as a tight end.
All right, that is it for quarter number two. Stick around in quarter number three. We take your questions and we ask T. Frank.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.